War. What is it good for? Absolutely nothing. Say it again. That familiar refrain comes from a song that was made popular by Edwin Starr during the Vietnam War. And that song decries the use of war and mourns the pain and the violence and the suffering caused by it. Wars have ravaged civilizations for millennia, and they still, unfortunately, go on today. They are fought to obtain land and resources, or as a means of retribution or an act of violence. We tend to think of war in terms of countries and armies, but we also see and hear themes of war in our individual lives. We use terms at our jobs and our homes, and unfortunately, even in our churches, like tactics and strategies, allies and enemies, wins and losses, and do or die. Everything becomes a competition or a battle, and that can drive how we lead. Today is our second sermon in our series, Leading from a Light, from the Light. And as Tyler talked about last week, it's easy to fall into the trap of thinking that who we are is defined by what we do. When we're meeting somebody for the first time, what question ultimately gets asked? What do you do for a living? That, at some point in time, will come up in the conversation. And how is that question typically answered? I am a fill in the blank. Not I work as a, or I do fill in the blank. You see the difference? I am instead of I work as or I do. This first response would say that our jobs define us. When we start to define ourselves by what we do and how successful we are, we can start to see life as a big competition, and even war, where we must fight to win, and winning is the only goal. That is the shadow that then causes us to lead in a different way. As we will see in today's scripture, we are called to rise above the shadow of war mentality and instead rely on the light of God's provision to allow us to live harmoniously. Let us pray. God, we thank you for bringing us here today. We thank you for this opportunity to share your word. God, we pray that your Holy Spirit would be here, that you would move among us, help us to hear from the word what you would have us to hear. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable unto you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our scripture lesson today comes from Matthew 6, verses 22 through 34. The light is the lamp of the body. Therefore, if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how terrible that darkness will be. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be loyal to the one and have contempt for the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Therefore, I say to you, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the sky. They don't sow seed or harvest grain or gather crops into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth much more than they are? Who among you, by worrying, can add a single moment to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? Notice how the lilies of the field grow. They don't wear themselves out with work, and they don't spin cloth. But I say to you that even Solomon in all of his splendor wasn't dressed like one of these. If God dresses grass in the field so beautifully, even though it's alive today and tomorrow it's thrown in the furnace, won't God do much more for you, you people of weak faith? Therefore, don't worry and say, what are we going to eat? Or what are we going to drink? Or what are we going to wear? Gentiles long for all these things. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Instead, desire first and foremost God's kingdom and God's righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, stop worrying about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Matthew starts this passage off with a rather strange statement. The eye is the lamp of the body. This idea comes from ancient Greek and Jewish thought that believed the eye was sort of like a flashlight, that it had a fire inside of it that emanated out and allowed us to see all that is around us. Of course, we know that's not the case, and that the eye actually gathers the available light and feeds it into our brain, where the images are then developed. And then when we see something, we focus on it. When we then focus on it, that becomes the center of our attention. Let's hold on to that for just a second. Another school of thought about the eye from ancient Greek and Jewish understanding is metaphoric. When Matthew talks about a good eye or a bad eye, readers at that time would have understood likely that he wasn't really talking about the eye being healthy or sick. The eye was thought to be a reflection of a person's moral character. Thus, if somebody had a bad eye, that meant that they were evil, or more specifically, it spoke to someone who was greedy, full of malice and envious. In contrast, someone with a good eye would have been seen as kind, generous, and upright. This brings us a completely different understanding then of that previous thought. Are we focused with good eyes or bad eyes? What holds our focus, our attention? Seeing the world with bad eyes of greed, envy, and malice leads us into a very shadowy world. Suddenly, life takes on a different meaning. It becomes about competition and winning. It demands protecting what we have for fear that we might run out. It can go so far as to take on warlike characteristics. People become enemies or allies. Possessions are seen as trophies of acquisition and triumph. And it suddenly becomes about winning at all costs. It happens in business all the time. Employees have to fight their way to the top. And each day is lived as do or die. Business strategies become more like battle plans. Corporations commit industrial espionage to gain the upper hand on the competition. The way we lead as employees and bosses then becomes focused on how we can win and cause the other side to lose. It's a slippery slope. This shadow then can creep into other areas of our lives. It can happen in our families where we feel we must compete for attention or love. Envy can creep in maybe when a spouse or a partner gets a promotion and we don't. Perceived expectations are not met and we are left feeling like we are less than. So we feel we have to fight to gain the approval and the attention. Church is no exception to this either. We see competition for attendees or fights over differences in theology, division among Christians. It becomes a death spiral. The more we buy into the life as war mentality, the more the shadowy darkness we fall into, especially as Christians. We form boundaries around our communities
and we start to define those as those who are in versus those who are out. Everyone inside our boundary is us, and everyone outside is them. We become divided. We guard these boundaries, even if it means turning others away from Christ. If we let that shadow overtake us, if it is all we focus on, how terrible is that darkness in us? That image of darkness takes us all the way back to the beginning in Genesis 1, before creation, when there was nothing but darkness and void. And then God spoke. The first thing God spoke into existence was light. It was the start of bringing order to chaos. God saw the light, that it was good. And as creation unfolded, each thing that God spoke into existence, God saw as good. The light shows God's kindness, benevolence, and generosity. God gave humanity everything they needed, and yet it wasn't enough. The humans saw something they didn't have, and they took it upon themselves to obtain it. A shadow began to encroach on the light. And ever since, humanity has fought wars and committed countless atrocities to obtain what they thought they didn't have. To this day, we struggle between living in that shadow and in the light. Fortunately, the light's still there. The darkness has not won. God made sure of that in Jesus' resurrection. We simply must choose to focus on the light instead of the shadow. We can't do both. We have to understand that we cannot live in both worlds, or as Matthew puts it, we cannot serve two masters. Greed and jealousy are like oil to the water of contentment and generosity. They don't mix. And I think this is what Jesus means in verses 25 through 34 when he talks of food and clothing. Now, it would be easy to interpret these verses, meaning we should just take a laissez-faire, a hands-off approach to life. Oh, we don't have to do any work. We can just kick back, and God is just going to bring it all to us. We hear that a lot in the prosperity gospel, right? But if we read these verses very closely, we see Jesus isn't removing responsibility. We still have to put forth some effort. Yes, God provides the birds with food. But the birds don't sit around with their mouths open waiting for God to drop it in their mouths or to bring it to them on a silver platter. They still have to make an effort to find the food. What the birds don't do is search for more or pass up available food or take for granted the food that they have. They are content with what they find. If you put a bird feeder out, birds will come. That's something I fondly remember growing up. My parents would always keep bird seed outside for the birds, especially in the wintertime. My dad was very passionate about his birds. He loved to feed the birds. Now, they will come, yes, but I have as yet to see a cardinal or a sparrow stop at my bird feeder and say, you know what, this seed isn't good enough for me. I'm going to go next door where they have the fancy seed so I can impress all my friends. Flowers don't worry whether they're the prettiest flower. They are simply content with the beauty that God provides them. Neither birds nor flowers allow anxiety to enter the picture. Here again, we shouldn't read too much into this text. Jesus is highlighting the worry that comes from the shadow of jealousy and greed. When we lean into that shadow, we start to see life as an all-or-nothing competition. Again, food and clothing then suddenly become more than just provision. They become status symbols. And for me to maintain my status, I have to protect those things that give me my status. And in order to keep getting better status, I've got to keep getting more things and bright and shinier things and bigger things, bigger homes, bigger cars, whatever. it is that I see that gives me status. We have to fight. We start to fight to keep up with our neighbors. People who have less than me are, well, less than me. Worry becomes a constant state of being. Worry for the day becomes worry for the tomorrow, which becomes worry for next week, next month, next year. Suddenly we're missing out on life. To borrow from another popular song, Harry Chapin so poignantly points this out or reminds us of this in his famous song. The planes to catch, bills to pay. Can you teach me to throw? No, not today. I got a lot to do. And as Tyler pointed out last week, that mentality gets passed on to the next generation with disastrous results. We wonder why kids become withdrawn or violent. They know nothing about life except to fight and to win. They learn to live in that shadow. Jesus reminds us in these verses that there is more to life than possessions and status. Yes, life is competitive, but it's only because we've made it that way. And I'm not going to stand up here and say competition is bad. Not all competition is bad. In a former life, I coached rec league baseball. And as many of you know, rec league sports can be brutal on players and coaches, if you've ever been a coach. And well, for parents too, if you've ever been to a t-ball game. I have seen my share of parents who think their child is the next big star, right? They push them hard to be what they want their child to be, when in reality, their child only wants to play their sport and have fun. Whenever we would start a new season, I would have a meeting with the players and the parents together, and I would explain my philosophy of coaching. I made it clear that I would coach to win, but winning was not the number one priority. My goal was to help those children develop their skills as a player and to have some fun in the process. And if we happen to win some games along the way, great. Fortunately, I was blessed to have many good players and parents over the years. And so healthy competition can be a good thing. It can help us to grow stronger and learn something about ourselves and how we can work with each other. And when competition goes bad is when we turn it into a fight against others. When we start to see life as something to be won and not lived, we are leading from the shadow and not the light. So, what's the answer? How can we live from and lead from the light? Verse 33 tells us, instead, desire first and foremost God's kingdom and God's righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. We hear echoes of this verse in the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The focus is on the Father. The attention is on the Father. Living in this manner brings a balance and a harmony into our lives. We no longer find ourselves worrying over things that don't really matter. We see things in proper perspective. Does this mean we're going to be free of worry? No. That's not what this promises. Verse 34 happens to be one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Therefore, stop worrying about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. There's still going to be trouble. There's still going to be worry. But it's all a matter of how we're focused as to how we will react to that worry. Worry isn't absent, but instead we live into another part of the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. We must rely on God's provision to get us through each day. And when we live in harmony with life and focus on God's kingdom and God's work, things fall more into place. And when the worry does come,
We don't have to live in that shadowy world of worry, greed, and malice. Life does not have to be a war. We can instead choose to live in harmony in the light of God's kingdom. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.